I welcome everyone for the Bhaktisangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Arjun Shekhar Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam Antalila 15.78 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Panam, please accept our humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for your very valuable time and association to us. You can please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्थ राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णा प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनेति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे गुरवे गौरचंद्राय राधिकाय तदालिये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो नमः आनंदलीलामय विग्रहाय हेमाव दिव्य छविसुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेमरसप्रदाय चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्यचंद्राय नमो नमस्ते चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते हरे कृष्णा बिफोर आई बिगिन आई वुड वांट टू एक्सप्रेस माय हार्टफेल्ट ग्रैटिट्यूड एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद हु हैज बेस्टोड अपॉन ऑल ऑफ अस दिस मोस्ट इनवैल्युएबल जूल इन द फॉर्म ऑफ श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत इन द इंग्लिश लैंग्वेज that was never given in the past. Secondly, I want to express my gratitude to Kirtida Sundari Mataji for very kindly having me back at the service of all the devotees present here. And lastly, I want to pay my dandavat pranams at the lotus feet of all the assembled devotees and beg and pray for your best wishes so that I can speak some favorable words in the glorification of today's topic. वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. So I'll just quickly share my screen. So this morning we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila Chapter 15, text 78. This verse is actually so deep and so profound that in the limited amount of time that we have, probably we'll be able to do only just this verse in the discussion. Harin Manika Vatika Pratata Hari Vakshasthala Smararta Taruni. Find in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami gives a very beautiful verse. Shukadev Goswami says, Labdva sudurlabamidam bahusambhavante manushyamarthadamanityamapihadhira turnam yatetanapateta anumrityu yavan nishreshaya vishaya kalusarvatasyat. Canto 11, Chapter 9, Text 29, Bhagavat. Shukadev Goswami says, Labdva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavante. He's saying, getting this human form of life, it is not durlabham, it is sudurlabham. It is extremely rare to obtain this human form of life. And bahusambhavante, one gets this most invaluable human form of life after many, many, many births. Now, it's not like an H-1B lottery, that there is a lottery and we get a human form of life. Getting a human form, getting a Manushya Jeevan, it comes after many, many lifetimes. We all have to pay a very heavy price to get this human body. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahusambhavante. And what are the features of this human form? Manushyam arthadam. It is arthadam. It is filled with meaning. Why is it filled with meaning? Because this human form of life awards one the opportunity to acquire the highest treasure, that is Krishna Prem, that is love of Godhead. We see it is only in this human form of life, only in the Manushya Jeevan, that anyone can get or acquire or develop this love of Godhead, which is there in a dormant form. But there is a caution. Manushyam arthadam anityam. Shukadeva Goswami says this human form is anityam. This bubble of human life can burst anytime. And we find this needs no explanation, especially for those who are following the news that is happening back in India as far as the second wave is concerned. We find that people are leaving their body left and right. And Shukadeva Goswami is right when he makes this point that the bubble of human life can burst, can break anytime. That is why he says, because this human form is rarely achieved and it can break anytime, and because it is filled with meaning, which means one can get the highest destination, that is love of God. Turnam yatet anapatet anumrityu yavan. He says, turnam, without delay, as fast as possible, as quick as possible, the sooner the better, before this body drops down dead, one should make every endeavor to achieve love of Godhead. He says that this is the aim of Manushya Jeevan. This is the aim of human life. And we find the same point is established by Prahlad Maharaj. We see that in a few weeks from now, we are going to celebrate the most auspicious appearance day of Narsingadev. And the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is making the same point. When Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his demoniac friends, Prahlad Maharaj says, Kaumaram acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha durlabham manusham janma tadapi adhruvam arthadam. Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 1, Bhagavat. He says, Kaumaram acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. This human form of life is rarely obtained, and it is for this reason, Kaumaram. One should practice this devotional service from Kaumara, from the tender age of childhood. Because he says, arthadam and anityam. This human form is filled with arthadam. It is filled with meaning. But at the same time, it is anityam. Human life can end at any time. Now, time and again, we are seeing whether it is 7th canto or whether it is 11th canto, the term used is arthadam. Human life is filled with a lot of meaning. And this meaning, dear devotees, is nothing but the meaning of acquiring Krishna Prem. We find that there are so many books around which speak about dharma, artha, kama and moksha. There are so many books who speak on these purusharthas, but it is only scriptures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that boldly, outrightly, they speak about the fifth purushartha, the pancham purushartha and the most important purushartha, that is Krishna Prem, that is love of Godhead. And we find in this section that we are discussing today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating this fifth purusharatha, that is love of Godhead. We see that Prabhupada has given this chapter a very beautiful name by it's called as the transcendental madness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this transcendental madness is nothing but the Krishna Prem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating through the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually giving a hint to all the practitioners that the aim of a sadhaka, the aim of a practitioner, the aim of human life is nothing but acquiring this transcendental madness, which is nothing but Krishna Prem. So having said this, we now try to begin our today's discussion. And I hope and pray that for the next 45 minutes or so, if devotees can kindly give all the attention that they have, then we can have a very nice, fruitful discussion regarding this topic. So we see that Chaitanya Charitamrita is written by Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And this verse of chapter 15, text 78, also comes from Govinda Lilamrita, which is also written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And Narottam Das Thakur, in his book called as Prem Bhakti Chandrika, very beautifully, he glorifies Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur, he says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Rasika Bhaktamaj Jeho Kaila Chaitanya Charita. He says, Kaviraj Goswami is Rasika Bhaktamaj. He is the most Rasik Bhakta, because Kaviraj Goswami's heart is filled with Brajras. Waves of Vrajras are filled in the heart of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Jeho Kaila Chaitanya Charit. And he has written Chaitanya Charitamrita. Gaur Govinda Leela. So Kaviraj Goswami has written two prominent books in the form of Gaur Leela, which is Chaitanya Charitamrit, and Govinda Leela, which is Govinda Leelamrita. And as mentioned, this verse that we are about to discuss comes from the Govinda Leelamrita. So Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Gaur Govinda Leela, Shunite Galaye Shila, Tahate Na Hoye Mora Cheta. Narottam Das Thakur in his humility is saying, Gaur and Govinda Leela, anyone who hears to this narration of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Govinda Leelamrita that describes Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Shunite Galaye Shila. Even if a stone hears to these pastimes, a stone will melt. Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Shunite Galaye Shila, but Tahate Na Hoye Mora Chita, but somehow or the other, my heart is still not melting. The stone is ready to melt hearing the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna and Vrindavan. But somehow or the other, Narottam Das Thakur in his humility, he is saying that my heart is still not melting. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur, his heart is very much melting, but he is speaking on behalf of all of us, at least speaking for myself. He's making this point that when we hear the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when we hear the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan in the form of Govinda Leelamrita, our heart is supposed to melt. And we find that in this section, what is this section describing? And who is chanting this verse? This verse, dear devotees, is chanted by Srimati Radharani to her dear friend Vishakha Sakhi. Radharani is chanting this verse to Vishakha Sakhi, and Radharani is describing the bodily beauty of Sri Krishna, which is nothing but Radharani is describing the Rupa Madhuri. We all know that Krishna in Vrindavan, he possesses four qualities that even Vishnu in Vaikuntha doesn't possess. And those four qualities that Krishna has is Leela Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, and finally the fourth, that is Rupa Madhuri, the beauty, the sweetness of Krishna's form. So fundamentally, the theme of this verse is Radharani is describing the Rupa Madhuri or the beauty of Krishna's form in Vrindavan. We find that the Western conception of God is very different from the Gaudiya conception of God. Because God is Adi Purusha, he is the most primeval being, he is the oldest being. The Western conception, many times we find that whenever pictures are painted, God has a white beard. God has white hair. And sometimes God even has a walking stick. And their conception is more of like the Atlas. We find the famous photo of holding the Atlas and the face is completely strained. So that is their conception, that even when holding earth, the face, the strain on the face is completely seen. And God is having white beard, white hair, walking stick, and sometimes he's wobbling while walking. And he's like a very judgmental God. But we find that the conception that Prabhupada has given us about the conception of God is completely different from the Western conception. Our God, he lies. Our God steals. Our God breaks pots. Our God rolls in the dust of Vrindavan. Our God eats mud. Our God sees in the eye of Mother Yashoda and boldly speaks lies. Our God holds the tail of the cows and is being dragged around in Vrindavan. Our God, even when he's lifting Giriraj, he has a smile on his face. So it's completely different than the Western conception of God. Our God is more approachable. In the 1960s, when the ISKCON movement just began, in the 1968 or 1969, Srila Prabhupada had told one of his female disciples to paint a photo of Krishna lifting Giriraj. And this disciple of Prabhupada, she painted the photo of Krishna lifting Giriraj and she came back to Prabhupada after a few days. And when Prabhupada saw the photo, Prabhupada started laughing. For the next 2 minutes, Prabhupada was laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. And the disciple, she had no idea. She was thinking to herself, why is Prabhupada laughing? I mean, all the while, whenever I've showed my paintings to others, they've always appreciated. And here is Srila Prabhupada who was laughing, seeing at my painting. So she was perplexed and completely bewildered. So Prabhupada, after 2 minutes, he paused and he asked his disciple, what is this? What have you drawn? And she said, Prabhupada, you asked me to paint Krishna lifting Giriraj. So I have painted that. Prabhupada said, yes, I understand. But what is it that Krishna's hands have biceps and triceps and you have made 6-pack and 8-pack for Krishna? So when she heard, she said, Prabhupada, I thought that he's a 7-year-old and he's lifting a mountain. So probably he should be having biceps. He should be having triceps. He should be having 6-pack and 8-pack. So that is the reason, Prabhupada, I drew biceps and triceps for Krishna. Prabhupada said, no. People of this world, they go to gym and they have biceps and triceps. But our Krishna, he doesn't go to gym. He is living in Vrindavan. He is a 7-year-old, but his arms are more powerful than all the biceps and triceps. He doesn't require the LA fitness and all the so-called gyms. So Prabhupada made a strong point by saying that Krishna's arms externally may seem like a 7-year-old, but they are so strong that they are capable of lifting Giriraj, so much so that Krishna has a smile on his face. Unlike the Western conception where the person is lifting the Atlas and has a strain on his face, Prabhupada said, our conception is Krishna, even if he's 7 years old, even without biceps and triceps, Krishna's arms are so strong that they can lift Giriraj easily. And we find this is the same point that Radharani is making in this verse, that Krishna's arms are as strong as bolts. Very powerful arms that Krishna possesses. Another time, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakuri comments, when Krishna went to Mathura in order to kill Kamsa, we know that Krishna, he dragged Kamsa by holding on to his hair. Krishna, with his arms, he held on to the hair of Kamsa and dragged him down. And with those same arms, he was punching and smashing Kamsa to death. At that time, the Mathuravasis who were seeing the sight, they were completely bewildered. At first, all the Vatsalya Ras was emanating from their heart. But when they saw this godly opulence of Sri Krishna as to how powerful his arms are and that he's smashing and punching Kamsa to death. Naturally, all of them fell down in the mood of Dasiras. So at that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Sridham Sakha, he came to Mathura and he witnessed this complete sight. Now, who is Sridham Sakha? Radharani's brother. So Radharani's brother, Sridham Sakha, comes to the sight and he sees Krishna is punching Kamsa to death. So after Kamsa is completely killed and after Chanura and Mushtika are smashed to death by Krishna and Balram's arms, at that time, Sridham Sakha sees everything. And when Krishna sees Sridham Sakha, Krishna comes running towards Sridham and he says, Sridham, Sridham. And Sridham says, wait a minute. Krishna, don't come ahead. And Krishna says, what happened, Sridham? Sridham says, you cannot be my Krishna. My Krishna is not so strong. I defeat him day in and day out. Morning, afternoon, evening, night, I smash him. I punch him. So much so that I sit on his chest and I punch him. I know Krishna. Krishna's arms are not so strong. What to speak of punching and killing Kamsa to death? I'm sure that you are not my Krishna. You cannot be my Krishna. So at that time, Krishna says, Sridham, I am your Krishna. Believe me, I am your Krishna. Sridham says, impossible. My Krishna is not so strong. I defeat him every day. He doesn't have so much strength. Because the Shastras describe, Kamsa Maharaj was so strong that he with his left hand could pick up an elephant. That was the power of Kamsa Maharaj. So Sridham was thinking, that personality who can lift elephants with his left hand, how can Krishna, whom I defeat every day, how can Krishna's arms drag and punch Kamsa to death? Impossible. He tells Krishna, Krishna, you are not my Krishna. So at that time, Krishna has a tear in his eye. And Krishna says, Sridham, how can I convince you that I am your Krishna? I am your Lala. I am your Sakha. So Sridham says, if you are my Krishna, then let us have a battle. Because I defeat Krishna every day. So if you are my Krishna, let us have a battle right here, right now. And let us see who wins. So Krishna agrees. And dear devotees, amidst the dead body of Kamsa, Krishna and Sridham start to punch each other. They start to wrestle amongst each other. So much so that Vishwanath Chakravarti describes, Sridham defeats Krishna. Sridham sits on the chest of Krishna and is punching Krishna. And that Krishna, whose arms were so strong that he could drag and kill Kamsa to death, those same arms lost when it came to the love of Sridham Sakha. Sridham Sakha's arms were more powerful than the arms of Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti describes, amidst the dead body, Sridham was sitting on the chest of Krishna and punching Krishna. And what does Sridham say? After he defeats Krishna, Sridham says, confirmed, you are my Krishna because I was able to defeat you. So in this way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this is the love of the Vrajavasis. Krishna's arms are so strong as Radharani is describing, but still, the Vrajavasis, even after they have seen all the godly opulence of Krishna, they are convinced that he cannot be God. How can he be God? He lies, he steals, he breaks pots. Which God eats mud? Which God steals? Which God lies? So we find that the Vrajavasis demonstrate something called as Shuddha Madhurya Prem. They see so many godly opulence of Krishna in the form of Krishna killing Putana, Krishna killing Shakatasur, Krishna killing Trinavarta, Denukasur, Agasur, Bakasur, Keshi, and so many demons. But the Vrajavasis are in a state called as Shuddha Madhurya Prem. They have so much mamata, so much love for Krishna that they are convinced Krishna cannot be God. And to illustrate this point, dear devotees, Sanatan Goswami gives a very beautiful example. Shripad Sanatan Goswami brings about he illustrates a beautiful example that signifies the love of the Vrajavasis in contrast to the love of the Mathura Vasis and the Dwaraka Vasis. Shripad Sanatan Goswami says, for example, let's take a well. And this well has well water. And if we take 10 kilos of salt and pour this 10 kilos of salt in the well water, what will happen? The well water will become salty. That well water, which was sweet in nature, now because of the 10 kilos of salt, now that well water will become salty. Now Shripad Sanatan Goswami says, take the same 10 kgs of salt and go and throw it in the ocean. What happens? Nothing. There is no change in the state of the ocean. Why? Not because the ocean is already salty, but because the depth of the ocean is so much, it is so deep that irrespective of how much ever amount of salt is poured, there is no change in the state. There is no change in the concentration of that of the ocean. Shripad Sanatan Goswami says, he maps that to the love of the Mathura Vasis, Dwaraka Vasis, and that of the Braja Vasis. Shripad Sanatan Goswami says, the love of the Mathura Vasis and Dwaraka Vasis is like that of the well water. Little display of salt-like opulence of Krishna changes their state. From Vatsaleras, they fall down to Dasyaras. But the love of the Vrajavasis is like a vast, deep ocean. How much ever salt-like opulence Krishna displays, godly opulence, the love of the Vrajavasis never falls down. In fact, their love only increases again and again. Shripad Sanatan Goswami says, this is only because their love for Krishna is as deep as the ocean water. And we see this time and again. Once when our Krishna was going in the forest of Vrindavan, when he was wandering in the forest of Brajadham, at that time, the peacocks became so happy to see Krishna that they started dancing. We see generally peacocks dance when it rains. Whenever they're very happy, that's when they spread out their feathers. So when the peacocks, they saw Krishna entering the forest, all the peacocks and all the peahens, they started jumping and dancing and they started spreading their feathers. And when Krishna saw the peacocks dancing, Krishna also started to dance. Krishna tied his turban, Krishna tied his waistcloth, and Krishna also started to dance. And when Krishna started to dance, the peacocks also started to dance. The peacocks were dancing, Krishna was dancing, Krishna was dancing, the peacocks were dancing. And finally, after some time, the peacocks stopped. They gave up. And they told Krishna that, my dear Lord, we cannot compete with you. You are Natavara Vapu. We find Shukadev Goswami in Venu Geet. He says Krishna is Natavara Vapu. He is the best among dancers. So the peacocks, they say, my dear Lord, you are the best among dancers. How can we even compete with you in dancing? And at that time, the peacocks, they tell Krishna that, my dear Lord, you have mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. In chapter 9, text 26 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, anyone who gives me a leaf, anyone who gives me a flower, anyone who gives me fruit, and anyone who gives me a little water, I sell myself. That is bhakti. Krishna says, I accept even if someone gives me any one of these four things. But at that time, the peacocks, they turn towards Krishna and they say, my dear Lord, we cannot give you patram, we cannot give you pushpam, we cannot give you phalam, and we can't even give you toyam. But my dear Lord, the only prize that we can offer, the only thing that we can offer to you, my dear Lord, is our feathers. We can't offer any of the things that you have mentioned, but the feathers that you have given us, my dear Lord, we want to offer these feathers back to you. And saying thus, the peacocks and the peahens, they started plucking the feathers from their body and they started placing it at the feet of Sri Krishna. And we see that peacocks, all they have is feathers. So plucking feathers from their body only meant that they are completely offering their complete body to Sri Krishna. And dear devotees, this is nothing but Atma Nivedanam. This is complete surrender. We see another prominent example of Atma Nivedanam, of complete surrender, is that of Bali Maharaj in the 8th canto. In the first two steps, we find Vamandev, he conquered everything that Bali Maharaj possessed. And finally, in the third step, the Supreme Lord, as Vamana, he placed his lotus feet on the head of Bali Maharaj and pushed him down to the lower planetary systems. So Bali Maharaj offered his complete body unto the service of Krishna, which is nothing but Atma Nivedanam, complete surrender. And because Bali Maharaj offered his complete body, it is till this date, the Supreme Lord as Vaman is standing as the doorkeeper for Bali Maharaj. And likewise, dear devotees, because the peacocks are demonstrating Atma Nivedanam, complete surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna by giving their peacock feathers, Krishna is keeping those same peacock feathers on top of his head to demonstrate this point that anyone who completely surrenders their body, mind and words unto me, I give them the position not at my lotus feet, but on top of my head. Even if someone is an animal, I give them the position of the top of my head. So what to speak of devotees, human beings, practicing and chanting and dancing every single day. What prized position Krishna is ready to give all of us. And not just one instance, dear devotees. There are several instances where Krishna wears the peacock feather. Another prominent instance is Srimati Radharani was once in Maan, transcendental sulking anger. She was once in Maan towards Krishna. And at that time, our Shamasundar, he tried everything possible in order to pacify Srimati Radharani. But somehow Radharani was still very angry. So at that time, the peacocks and the peahens, they started dancing in front of Srimati Radharani. And seeing the dance of the peacocks and peahen, Radharani became so happy that she started laughing. And when she started laughing, her man, her transcendental sulking anger towards Krishna was also pacified. So Krishna thought to himself that I was not able to pacify Srimati Radharani, but it was these peacocks and peahens who helped me pacify Srimati Radharani. And it is for this reason Krishna acquired the form of a peacock and Radharani acquired the form of a peahen, and both Radha and Krishna started dancing in the form of peahen and peacock. And dear devotees, this place in Brajmandal is none other than Mor Kutir. So we find many times peacocks and peahens have helped Krishna and have demonstrated complete surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. And it is for this reason Krishna, he wears peacock feather on top of his head. And we find in the 10th canto, in the section of Venu Geet, Shukadev Goswami says, Barha Pidam Natavara Vapu Karnayo Karnikaram. He says, Barha Pidam. So Barha basically means, Barha basically means peacock feathers. And Apidam means crown. So Shukadev Goswami says, Krishna has Barha Pidam, which means he has a crown of peacock feathers. There are various flowers that Krishna wears, but apart from that, Krishna also has a beautiful crown of peacock feathers. And he is Natavara Vapu. He is the best among dancers. And Karnayo Karnikaram. Now this is so beautiful. Vishwanath Chakravarti says, Karnayoho Karnikaram. So Karna in Sanskrit means ears. And Karnayoho means a dual case is used, which means two ears, Karna Yoho, two ears, but Karnikaram, only one flower. So Shukadev Goswami is saying, two ears, but one flower? How is this? Generally, we find two ears means two flowers. So Shukadev Goswami is making this point, Karna Yoho, Karnikaram, two ears, but one flower. And here, our acharyas, very beautifully, they comment that Krishna has 2 ears. But the reason Shukadev Goswami is saying that Krishna wears only 1 flower is because Krishna is very restless. Krishna keeps a flower to his 1 ear, and then within few moments, he shifts it to another ear. And then within few moments, he again switches it back to this ear. So Shukadev Goswami, when he is describing this pastime, he is seeing the restless nature of Krishna. And he's saying, Karana Yoho, 2 ears, but Karanikara, 1 flower, because Krishna is very restless. He keeps switching from left ear to right ear to right ear to left ear. Karana Yoho, Karanikaram. And Bibra Dvasana Kanaka Kapisham, Vaijayantim Chamalam. And Krishna wears a Vaijayanti Mala. What is this Vaijayanti Mala, dear devotees? Jayanti means victory. And Vai Jayanti, Vai means Vishesha Rupena, which means special victory. But what is this victory that Shukadev Goswami is talking about? It is not the victory of Krishna over the demons. Krishna has killed so many demons, but the Vaijayanti Mala does not describe Krishna's victory over the demons. But in fact, the Vaijayanti Mala is a symbolic representation of Krishna's victory over the hearts of the Brajavasis. Krishna wears the Vaijayanti Mala to demonstrate that he has become victorious over the hearts of the friends of Krishna. To Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, to Rohini Maya, and to Srimati Radharani and all the Vrajagopis. And not just them, but even to the peacocks and the peahens and the elephants and the deers and the cows and the calf. Krishna is victorious over the hearts of everyone. It is for this reason Krishna, as a symbolic representation, is wearing the Vaijayanti Mala. And this Vaijayanti Mala, it comprises of 5 flowers. Only when these 5 flowers come together, only when these 5 flowers are strung together, it forms Vaijayanti Mala. What are these 5 flowers? Mandara, Kunda, Kamala, Parijata, and Tulasi. When these 5 flowers are strung together, that is when it forms a Vaijayanti Mala. So this is a symbolic representation that Krishna is wearing, because we find Krishna is living in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there is no concept of trophy. There is no concept of medals. But in Vrindavan, because it is village life, the way Krishna represents his victory over the Brajavasis is by wearing a Vaijayanti Mala. So we see that Krishna is wearing a peacock feather. Krishna is having a Karanikara flower. 2 ears, but 1 flower. Krishna is having a Vaijayanti Mala. And with this attire, when the Brajagopis, when they see Krishna, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes a very brilliant point. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Gokulair Gokulam Ninye, Gokulam Gokulair Haran, Gokulam Gokulai Sridam Gokulair Gokuleshwaraha. So we find Kaviraj Goswami in Govinda Lilamrita, he does a wordplay with the word Gokul. What is Kaviraj Goswami saying? Kaviraj Goswami says, when the Lord of Gokul entered Gokul with his Gokul, so Go means cows and Kula means group. So when the Lord of Gokul entered Gokul with his Gokul, which means groups of cows, at that time the gopis of Vrindavan looked at the Lord of Gokul with all their Gokul, because Go also means senses and Kula means a group or a network. So Kaviraj Goswami does a wordplay on this word Gokul by saying, when the Lord of Gokul entered Gokul with all his Gokul, the gopis of Vrindavan looked at the Lord of Gokul with all their Gokul. And Kaviraj Goswami expands on that by saying the reason the gopis were looking at the Lord of Gokul with all their Gokul is because Krishna was demonstrating a beauty par excellence. Krishna was demonstrating his Rupa Madhuri so much so that the Brajagopis were completely enamored by seeing the beauty of Shri Krishna. So we find that whether it is the friends of Krishna, whether it is Maya, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, or whether it is Radharani and the Brajagopis, all of them are completely enamored seeing this wonderful beauty of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. But at this point, dear devotees, a question arises. We have discussed the Rupa Madhuri of Krishna, but how can we understand, how can we practically realize this form of Krishna? Because till now, whatever we have read is theoretical. At least speaking for myself, it is theoretical. So how do we actually understand and realize this form of Krishna? For this, Shukadev Goswami comes to our rescue. In the third canto, chapter 28, text 21, Shukadev Goswami gives a formula by which Krishna's form, Krishna's Rupa Madhuri can be understood. That Rupa Madhuri that Radharani is describing in this verse can be understood by Shukadev Goswami's formula that he is describing. Shukadev Goswami says, Sanchintayad Bhagavatas Charanaravinda Vajrankushadvajasarohalanchanadhya Uttungarakta Vilasan Nakachandravala Jyotsnabirahata Mahad Hridayandakara. Shukadev Goswami says, Hridayandakara, in order to kick the thick darkness that is present in the heart, in order to kick the illusion that is present in the heart, what should one do? Sanchintayad. One should meditate. But meditate on what? Sanchintayad Bhagavatas Charanaravinda. Shukadev Goswami says, if someone desires to kick out the illusion, the thick darkness that is present in the heart, one has to meditate on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So we initially started by speaking on the arms of Krishna. Then we spoke about the peacock feather of Krishna. Then we spoke about Krishna's dancing abilities. Then we spoke about Krishna's Karnikara flower. We spoke about Krishna's Vaijayanti mala. And now we are speaking about Krishna's lotus feet. Shukadev Goswami is saying, Sanchintayad Bhagavatas Charanaravinda. One should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. But now the question may arise, how to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord? One should know the signs and symbols. One should at least have a photo to meditate. So Shukadev Goswami says, Vajrankushadvajasarohalanchanadhya. He describes four symbols that are present on the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. What are the four symbols, dear devotees? First is Vajra, which means a thunderbolt. Second, Ankusha. Now, Ankusha basically means a goad. We see when the elephants are, they have to be driven, the mahouts, they have a Ankusha, they have a goad. And with that goad, they drive the elephants. So Krishna's lotus feet is having an Ankusha. It is having a goad. Why? Because our mind is like a mad elephant, which is constantly running here and there like Kuvalaya Pida. So by having an Ankusha, Krishna is demonstrating, Krishna is showing this point that even if your mind runs here and there like your mad elephant, my lotus feet has an Ankusha. It has the ability to bring your mind back on track if you meditate on my lotus feet. So beautiful. So Vajra, first is a thunderbolt. Second is an Ankusha, that is a goad. Vajrankusha. Third is Dvaja. Krishna's lotus feet has a Dvaja. Now Dvaja means a flag. But Sanskrit is such a beautiful language that a flag can be... The word flag in English has two understandings. First, the Dvaja is called as a small flag, while a Pataka is called as a big flag. So a big flag is called as Pataka, while a small flag is called as Dvaja. So like we have His Holiness Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj, which means the big victorious flag of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is Pataka. But here the word he uses is not Pataka, but the word he uses is Dvaja. So Krishna's lotus feet has a small flag, which means to demonstrate this point that anyone who meditates on the lotus feet of Krishna will surely be victorious in his endeavor to realize the Rupa Madhuri of Shri Krishna. And finally, the fourth symbol that is described on the lotus feet of Shri Krishna is Saroruha, which means a lotus flower. So Shukadev Goswami is saying, please meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Krishna because it has four symbols in the form of Vajra, Ankusha, Dvaja, and Saroruha. Lanchanadhya, which means Krishna's feet is adorned by these marks. Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakachandravala. Now Shukadev Goswami goes on to describe the nails of Sri Krishna. He says, Krishna's nails, how are Krishna's nails? Well, Krishna's nails are reddish in color. We see Satyavrata Muni in Damodarashtakam. He compares Krishna's lips to like that of a bimba fruit. He says Krishna's small lips are so reddish in nature that they almost resemble a bimba fruit. Similarly, Shukadev Goswami says Krishna's nails are so reddish in color that they almost look like rubies. Now, if rubies are brought, if diamonds are brought, how attractive and how opulent they will be. Similarly, Shukadev Goswami says Krishna's nails are as reddish in nature as like that of the rubies. And Nakachakravala, they're almost like a half moon. We see on the sky, sometimes we see a half moon. So the next time we see a half moon, Shukadev Goswami is telling all of us that we should be reminded of Krishna's nail. Because Krishna's nail is as effulgent like that of a half moon. So he says that Krishna's lotus feet has four symbols and his nails are reddish in nature and they're like a half moon, Nakachakravala, and Jyotsna Birahata Mahadhrudayandakara. Shukadev Goswami finally, he says that anyone who regularly meditates on this lotus feet of Krishna, very soon the thick darkness that is present in his heart will be completely dispelled. And when this darkness is dispelled, the form, the Rupa Madhuri of Krishna can be understood. Then we can actually comprehend what Radharani is trying to describe in this verse in the form of Krishna's Rupa Madhuri. So we see meditating on Krishna's lotus feet is nothing but Pada Sevanam. One meaning of Pada Sevanam is to worship the lotus feet. But another meaning of Pada Sevanam is also to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. That is also called as Pada Sevanam. So factually we see Pada Sevanam is nothing but one of the limbs of Navavida Bhakti. So we are boiling down to the point that it is only Bhakti that can help us realize the form of Sri Krishna. In order to understand the Rupa Madhuri aspect of Sri Krishna, in order to completely understand what Radharani is experiencing in the form of Krishna's beauty, it is only and only bhakti. Bhakti is the only commodity that can help us open the gates to Krishna's Rupa. And not just Rupa, but also Naam, Rupa and Guna and Leela. Krishna's Naam, Rupa, Guna and Leela can be understood only by the performance of Bhakti Yoga. And we find this same point is emphasized by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj at one point, he says, Ekantir Bhakti Govinda, which means perform Ekanti, one-pointed devotion unto the lotus feet of Govinda. Ekantir Bhakti Govinda. Now at this point, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives such a fantastic commentary. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, Prahlad Maharaj is saying Ekantir Bhakti Govinda, which means perform one-pointed bhakti unto the lotus feet of Govinda. But Vishwanath Chakravarti here, he says, the Sanskrit here is wrong. There is a mistake in Sanskrit grammar. Ideally, it should be Bhaktir Ekanti Govinda, which means perform one-pointed devotion unto the lotus feet of Govinda. So the perfect Sanskrit should be Bhaktir Ekanti Govinda. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying Ekantir Bhakti Govinda. So Vishwanath Chakravarti is answering by saying, why is Prahlad Maharaj breaking the rules of Sanskrit? He says, Prahlad Maharaj is such a Mahabhagavat that he is ready to keep the rules of Sanskrit to the side in order to bring Bhakti and Govinda together. Because we know that Bhakti is nothing but Srimati Radharani. Bhakti Devi is nothing but Srimati Radharani. So Prahlad Maharaj doesn't want to put even a single word and separate Radha and Krishna. In fact, he is ready to keep the rules of Sanskrit to the side in order to bring Bhakti and Govinda together. And he says it is for this reason he, Prahlad Maharaj, is making this point. Ekantir Bhakti Govinda, which means perform one point of devotion unto Radha and Krishna, which is nothing but Bhakti Yoga, which ideally should have been Bhaktir Ekanti Govinda. So in this way, we find Prahlad Maharaj is also demonstrating the same point, that bhakti is the only way that can attract the heart of Krishna. And bhakti is the only thing that can open the gates to understand Krishna's Rupa Madhuri. And in this verse, dear devotees, we find that Radharani, she could have taken any name of Krishna, but specifically she takes the name Madan Mohan. Why? Because Madan Mohan denotes Sambandha Tattva. Madan Mohan Ju denotes Sambandha Tattva Gyan. Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Shri Radha Saha Shri Madan Mohan, Shri Radha Saha Shri Govinda Charan, Shri Radha Saha Shri Gopinath, Eighteen Thakur Hai Godiyara Nath. Very beautifully, he says that Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath, they are the lords of Gaudiyas because they denote Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. But here we see that Radharani is using the term Madan Mohan. The name Madan Mohan is used. Why? Because Radharani, in a very subtle fashion, is demonstrating this point, is helping all of us understand that till the time Sambandha is not developed with Sri Krishna, till the time relationship is not developed, till the time the sadhaka doesn't have understanding of his Sambandha with the Supreme Lord, till that time, understanding the Rupa Madhuri is a far-fetched reality. We can theoretically discuss about the Rupa of Sri Krishna, but having the spurti, having the realization of Krishna's form, can be only understood by Krishna's mercy. So very beautifully, our acharyas are making this point that only by performance of bhakti yoga can the gates of understanding Krishna's Rupa Madhuri can be understood. And here we are finding that Radharani is saying Madan Mohan because she is making this point that till the time there is no Sambandha established, one will not understand the Rupa Madhuri of Shri Krishna. And there is a reason why Madan Mohan is called Sambandha Tattva. We see there are so many forms of Krishna, but Madan Mohan is called Sambandha. Why? Because the answer is there in the name itself. We see his name is Madan Mohan, which means Madana Mohana, which means by worshipping him, there'll be no more Madana, and there'll be no more Mohana. Mada means pride, and Moha means illusion. So by worshipping Madan Mohan, there'll be no more pride and no more illusion. Madana Mohana. And naturally, when illusion is kicked out from the heart, Sambandha Tattva is established. It is for this reason Madan Mohan is considered the Sambandha Tattva. Because illusion is the only binding force for the jiva, which is not helping the jiva understand the Rupa Madhuri of Shri Krishna. So Radharani is making a very interesting point that by worshipping the Sambandha Tattva deity, that is Madan Mohan, the mother can be kicked out and the moha, illusion, can be kicked out. And naturally, when the illusion is kicked out, Sambandha can be established. And once Sambandha is established, then Radharani is making her point, then we can understand the beautiful form of Shri Krishna in Vrindavan. So fundamentally, the essence, the fundamental point of this discussion is, in order to understand Krishna's form, bhakti is the only way that can help us achieve our goal. And the question now arises, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says, but bhakti unto whose lotus feet? We are Kali Yuga Jivas, and we know worshipping Krishna, there are so many rules and regulations and so many offenses. When it comes to Krishna's holy name, there are 10 offenses. When it comes to Krishna's deity worship, there are 32 offenses. So the number only keeps increasing when it comes to the worship of Shri Krishna, when it comes to the bhakti unto lotus feet of Shri Krishna. So for this reason, Prabhodananda Saraswati in Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita, he says, Yatha Yatha Gaura Padara Vinde विन्देत भक्तिम कृत पुण्य राशि तथा ततो सर्पति हृदय कस्मात राधा पदाम भोज सुधाम्बु राशि. प्रबोधानंद सरस्वती सेस यथा यथा गौर पदारविंदे टू द एक्सटेंट वन परफॉर्म्स वन पॉइंटेड डिवोशन अनटू द लोटस फीट ऑफ गौरांग महाप्रभु टू द एक्सटेंट वन इज sold out at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Chandra. To that extent, Radha Padham Bhoja Sudhambu Rashi, to that extent, his heart will be flooded with the nectarian waves emanating from Radharani's lotus feet. In order to understand Radharani and to understand the words that are emanating from the lotus lips of Radharani, just like this verse, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, first, one should have one pointed devotion unto the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Yatha yatha gaura padar vinde vinde the bhaktim krita punya rashi. If one has one pointed devotion unto the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will enable the sadhaka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give the realization. He will give the seed of realization to understand Srimati Radharani. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showers his mercy, then we can hope to even fathom what is coming out from the lotus lips of Srimati Radharani in the form of this verse in the 15th chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antalila, which is entitled The Transcendental Madness of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Having said this, I stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samasta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. We are so thankful for you. So do you have some time for the questions or realizations, Prabhuji?
Yes, ma'am, sure.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. So I request devotees, if anybody have any questions, you can please raise your hand. Parima Mataji, you can please go ahead, Parima Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your nectarian class, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranams to you and everybody else on this call. Prabhuji, I had this question that you just now mentioned that, you know, for Radha Krishna deity worship, there are so many offenses. Then again, for the holy name, there are offenses. But for Gauranga, for Gaur Nitai, there, you know, they don't consider offenses. That is actually very true, Prabhuji. But still, I see so many devotees. I'm not saying that they may not be elevated, but I still see the worship of Radha Krishna devotees, deities, even in homes. So Prabhuji, can you elaborate on that? Like, you know, it's not that we can be 100% offenseless, like pure, like the Goswamis. So what do you say about it?
Hare Krishna Mataji. So when it comes to Radha Krishna worship, of course, the devotee who is worshipping Radha and Krishna has to be pure. But again, when it comes to Radha and Krishna worship, or even when it comes to Gaur and Nitya worship, the best approach is to ask our Siksha Guru and ask our Diksha Guru. If our Siksha and Diksha Guru, they feel that we are eligible to worship Radha and Krishna, then we can go ahead and worship Radha and Krishna. Now, as far as other devotees who are worshipping Radha and Krishna are concerned, probably they've asked their superiors, they've asked their spiritual master, they've asked our Siksha Guru. And if the Diksha Guru feels, if the initiating spiritual master feels that my disciple is qualified, then I think we are no one to comment about their position. But again, as far as Mahaprabhu's name is concerned, Mahaprabhu's qualities are concerned, they do not consider any offenses. We find Chaitanya Charitamrita very beautifully. It says that Gaur Naam, Gaur Naam Gaur Roop, what is that verse?
Gaur Naam Gaur Dham Gaur Roop.
Gaur Roop Gon Aparad Nahi Mani Tari Tenipun. Thank you. Yes. We find Kaviraj Goswami says Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Roop, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Naam, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Dham, they do not consider any offenses. So that is why we find Prabhupada's dear godbrother and Siksha Guru by the name Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. Especially when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's the Chandradaya Mandir and Mayapur was coming up, there are many photos of Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan. So Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj would have this habit. Many times, even in the recordings, we find that he would always keep chanting Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari, Gaur Hari, Nitai Gaur Hari, Nitai Gaur Hari. Why? Because Gauranga Mahaprabhu's name, his form, his qualities, his pastime places, they do not consider any offenses. So it is always good that even if you're worshipping Radha and Krishna, it is always good to accompany that with Gaur Nitai worship. Because Gauranga and Nityananda, they are the Yuga avatars. One can never get Radha and Krishna by not worshipping Gauranga and Nityananda. The first and the paramount, the most important worship of Kali is worshipping Gauranga and Nityananda. By the worship of Gauranga and Nityananda, then we get Radha and Krishna. Heno Nitai Vine Bhai Radha Krishna Paite Nai Drudha Kori Dharo Nitai Pai. Our acharyas say we should hold on to the feet of Nityananda Prabhu very firmly, because only by the power of Nitai and Gauranga can we get Radha and Krishna. So as far as others worshipping Radha and Krishna are concerned, probably they have asked their superiors, and the superiors have given the green signal. That is the reason they are worshipping. But as far as our case is concerned, we can always consult the superiors as to whether we are qualified. If they say a yes, we can go ahead. And if not, Gaur Nitai worship is always safe for sadhakas, because they don't consider offenses, and their name also doesn't consider any offenses. The other day I was hearing Shripad Ayendra Prabhu in a conversation was making this point that someone asked Ayendra Prabhu that, Prabhu, we all know that Vrindavan considers so many offenses. So if someone is not qualified, should they still live in Vrindavan? Because we find Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction, he says, Tishthan Vrajeta Danuragi Janano Gami Kalam Nayed Akhilam Iti Upadesha Saram. In text 8, he says that Tishthan Vraje, go to Vrindavan and live in Vrindavan. So when Ayendra Prabhu was asked this question, Shripada Ayendra Prabhu said that if someone is not sufficiently qualified, then they should take shelter of Navadvip Dham. Because Navadvip Dham doesn't consider offenses, Gaur Nitai do not consider offenses, and their holy name also do not consider offenses. So it's always safe for a sadhaka to worship Gauranga and Nityananda. But if we have the desire to worship Radha and Krishna, it's always good to approach our superiors and ask their permission.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for your wonderful answer. I mean, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for so beautiful answer. Now I request Gaur Das Prabhuji. You can please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. First of all, thank you for such a nectarian class. Prabhuji, you said that Radha Madan Mohan ji shows Sambandha Tattva Gyan. So what does Radha Govind Dev ji and Radha Gopinath ji shows? If you can explain.
So Madan Mohan denotes Sambandha Tattva, and then Govind ji denotes Abhideya, and Gopinath denotes Prayojan. Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath. Sambandha means our relationship, Abhideya means the process, and Prayojan means the goal. Prem Prayojan, Prem is our goal. And the Lord is with Gopinath. So our goal is to attain that Lord who is always dancing with the Braja Gopis. So in this way, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopinath.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I request any other devotees have any other questions or realizations to Prabhuji.
Chat questions, Mataji. Prabhuji, there is a question in chat, if you can take that.
Is it the one from Seema Mataji?
Seema, yeah.
Hare Krishna. My question is that I'm new to Krishna consciousness. So before coming here, I have Radha Krishna deities at home given by some devotee from Vrindavan. Is it okay to continue my puja? I am not initiated still. So my Shiksha Guru, Shripad Mukundatha Prabhu, had once made this point that if the worship has been going on for the deities, then it is always good to continue, because we have been feeding the deities, we have been worshipping the deities, and now if we abandon the deities, then it is not appropriate. It's like a mother has been feeding the child for all these years, and now all of a sudden if she stops feeding, that is not very appropriate. So even if you're not initiated, because we have been worshipping Radha and Krishna, and they have been we have been giving them bhoga, it is always good to continue that. But it is always good that we are under the guidance of a superior. If we can have a superior in our life in the form of a Siksha Guru, superior in the form of a Diksha Guru, then it is always good to be under the Anugatya of their instructions. So then we can channelize our sadhana, we can channelize our deity worship, our Radha Krishna deity worship, based on the instructions that we receive from them. But as of now, because we are not initiated, we can still continue the worship of Radha and Krishna, because we have been giving them bhoga. So it is not correct to stop feeding them when we have been doing that for many years.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I was in doldrums what to do, because so many people told me not to keep the deities at home. So I was thinking I'll return it to some temple, but thank you so much for guiding me. Hare Krishna, and very beautiful class, Prabhuji.
Well, again, if we are living close to a temple, and if the temple is ready to take care of the deities, that is first class, because the deities will still keep getting bhoga. But again, if we are not close to a temple, and if the temple have the rules and regulations, and they are not ready to accept our deities, then we can take it. But my point is to not abandon the deities. Like sometimes we keep the deities back in the closet, and then we hope and pray that once I get initiated, then I will worship the deities. But that is not appropriate. If we are close to a temple and the temple is ready to accept the deities and offer bhoga every day, that is first class. If that is not possible, then the second option would be that we still continue with our deities, but not of the opinion that we put them back in the closet just because we are not initiated.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, I live in Doha, Qatar, so there is no temple here. So you can understand it. We do it at home inside our house. So it's little hidden sort of thing. So that's the problem. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Arjun Sakaprabhu. I really want to thank you for such an excellent class. I don't have any questions, but a lot of appreciation for the way you've analyzed this verse and written a lot of meditation on Krishna's qualities, on his form, and so many other aspects. So very grateful to you for accepting an invitation. Also loved your answers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, for very kindly having me here. Hare Krishna.
Any other devotees have any other questions or realizations to Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Fantastic, brilliant, excellent class, Prabhu. The way you have churned this verse in such a beautiful way, taking out each and every, you know, word from this verse and explaining it from Bhagavatam, from Mahaprabhu's Leelas. It's awesome, Prabhu. Thank you so much for, you know, so beautifully explaining this verse. You know, I was thinking that you'll cover quite a few verses, but the way you churned this verse, you know, it's awesome, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for accepting this request. I know it's working day for you, but still you accept it. So really grateful to you. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranams.
Hare Krishna, Kirtida Mataji. Thank you so much for engaging me in this service. I'm not at all qualified to understand even an iota of this verse as to what Radharani is feeling when she's speaking to Vishakha Sakhi. So to the best of my ability, I tried to describe this verse. Please, to all the devotees, please kindly forgive me if I made any mistakes in as far as Tattva Siddhanta is concerned, or any mistakes, please kindly forgive me. I'm still learning. I'm still crawling my way in this path of bhakti. So kindly keep me in your prayer so that I may be able to serve you all more times in the future. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Prabhuji, we had one more hand raised. Are you okay to take that question?
Yes, Mataji.
Harita Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, such a nice nectarian class. Each and every word was like, you know, pouring nectar into the, you know, honey into our ears. It was so nice. The thing, I have one question, like you have mentioned about the Vrajvasis. They just don't consider Krishna as God. They just consider him as a fellow person and they have that prem for him. So when he was killing the demons and all, so didn't they even realize after that also that he's God himself who has come to protect them and everyone on the earth?
So Shukadev Goswami very beautifully says that even when Krishna would kill the demons, like for example, Mrudbakshan Leela, when Krishna was eating dirt, Krishna ate dirt, and when Balaramji went and told Maya Yashoda that your Lala has eaten dirt, Lala mitti khao hai. So when Maya Yashoda came and she opened the mouth, she asked Krishna to open the mouth. Before that, we find Krishna with full conviction. He speaks lies. He says, Naham bhakshitavan ambe sarva mithyabhi samshaya. He says, oh mother, sarve mithyabhi samshaya. Everyone is speaking lies. Even Balramji is speaking lies. In fact, I defeated them in a game. So they are all taking revenge. They are all speaking lies, my dear mother. I have not eaten dirt. So at that time, Krishna had eaten dirt, but he was trying to wipe his mouth. He was trying to wipe his mouth. And then finally, when everything was done, at that time, Krishna opened his mouth and said, look, mother, I have not eaten. So there was dirt particles, our acharyas described. But when Maya Yashoda is asking questions, Krishna is cleaning all the sides and making sure that he's not caught. And then finally opens the mouth. And when he opens the mouth, we know that Maya Yashoda sees the whole cosmic manifestation. She sees the mountain, she sees the rivers, so much so that she even sees Vrindavan. And inside Vrindavan, she sees herself seeing inside the mouth of Sri Krishna. So she becomes completely bewildered. So here, she has seen the godly opulence of the Supreme Lord. But the Yogamaya Shakti is such that it covers. When Krishna is in Vrindavan, Yogamaya covers Maya Yashoda, covers the Brajavasis and also covers Krishna. So Krishna performs his godly abilities, but Krishna is covered by Yogamaya Shakti. And Krishna, time and again, he makes this point that it is this love that the Vrajavasis have for Sri Krishna. It is this love that attracts Krishna. Aishwarya janite sabash jagata mishrit, Aishwarya stitila prem nahi mora prit. Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna is making this point that Aishwarya janite sabha jagata mishrit. Everyone is worshipping me in the mood of Aishwarya. Like that of Dwaraka Vasis and Mathura Vasis. But Aishwarya stitila prem nahi mora prit. This Aishwarya cannot conquer my heart. It is the love that the Vrajavasis show. It is that love that attracts my heart. When Maya Yashoda and the Brajagopis, they chastise Krishna. Priya yadi mana kare koroe bhatsan veda stuti haite hara sei mora man. Krishna says, Priya yadi mana kare, even if the Priyas, that means the Brajagopis, mana kare koroe bhatsan, even if they become angry on me, even if they chastise me, even if Maya Yashoda pulls my ear, veda stuti haite hara sei mora man. Krishna says, that chastisement for me is more nectarian than all the Veda stutis. That chastisement is more nectarian, more pleasing than all the verses, all the Purusha Sukta and all the Sri Suktas. Why? Because it is filled with love. So the Vrajavasis has so much love that it eclipses Krishna's godly abilities. And it is Yogamaya, like a curtain, who puts that veil on the eyes of Maya Yashoda and all the Vrajavasis. And not just the Vrajavasis, but even on that of the eyes of Sri Krishna. So it is Yogamaya potency, Yogamaya Shakti, that makes the Brajavasis completely forget that Krishna is Bhagavan. They cannot be convinced that Krishna is Bhagavan. Even after seeing so many godly abilities, they are convinced Krishna cannot be God. It is because Yogamaya has completely covered all of them.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's such a nice answer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Now I request Vrinda Gopika Mataji. You can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Anant Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. No words that you take us in Sridham Vrindavantam, we are not qualified. Prabhuji, we think that this year we qualified to by Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani and Srimati Shilada Rani's mercy. In Kartik month, we enter in Dham with Gurudeva, but at present situation, maybe this year also not qualified to enter in a Dham. You explain more Kutir Leela so nicely and all the past time, Prabhuji. Sridham Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Srimati Shri Radharani Lord Krishna ki jai, Vrindavan Rajkand ki jai, Shri Yamuna Maharani ki jai. Please pray for us that next year we are qualified to enter in Sridham Vrindavan Dham in a Kartik month with Gurudeva. I have seen Prabhuji that in a Kartik month, the program is start in a Pokhla Ashram morning 3:45, and it is going on up to 11:45, 11 o'clock. So the Bhakta Vrund is doing drama and presenting Leelas and Shishi Radha Krupa Ghatakam. Missing that association. Pray for all of Bhakti Sangha Mataji's that next year we are qualified to enter in Sridham Vrindavan Dham. So nicely explained past time. Ananta Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Sridham Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I think if I can even have one drop of love and tears that you shed for Vrindavan, if I can have even one drop, I will, I think, consider my life successful. If I can learn the art of crying for Vrindavan Dham like you have, and like being in the mood of separation from Vrindavan Dham, if I can learn that art from you, I think I will consider my life completely successful. Please pray for me, Mataji. More than I praying, I think all the devotees on this call should be praying for me. I'm young in age. I've just started to practice bhakti. Please pray for me so that I can not just go to Vrindavan, but also realize Vrindavan in my heart. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vijay. So if no other questions are there, we can end the call here. Devotees, would anyone have any other questions? So they are just thanking Prabhuji in the chat. That's it. No other questions. We'll end the call. So we are so thankful once again for such a nectarian class, Prabhuji, and for your wonderful association. We all will pay our obeisances to you. Vanchya Kalpata Rupyasya Krupa Sindhu Dhyay Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nantakoti Vaishnavindhi Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam Ki Jai Sri Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jis Grace Arjun Sakadas Prabhuji Ki Jai
Jai Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you, Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.
Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Closing the call, dear devotees. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.